We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Guess what? So are any of us here? We've got Gabe in the studio with us, Ryan, Katie, myself. Are any of us watching the NFL?
No.
Gabe, did you watch the NFL once upon a time? Were you a Rams fan?
I used to watch both the NFL and the NBA, and yet I haven't watched either in a couple years now.
So is the NBA, Gabe, for you, is that they outwoke you or life, or what? Why no NBA right now?
Yeah, they outwoke me.
and the NFL, yeah. Were you a Rams fan?
Yeah. I was a transplanted Rams fan, admittedly, but for sure I was fully on board. That was one of the first, was it the first game that I actually bought tickets to for the NFL? I think it was. And, I was all in and then they left.
So is your,
again,
did you, if the NFL wouldn't have ever gone like super woke and had all of the social justice things attached to it, would you be a Chiefs fan? I mean, they're good. They're sort of kind of here, or is what they did to St. Louis what broke your heart and you're out?
You know, for a little while after, you know, for that first season after the Rams left, I tried to think of, okay, well, what team can I even want to do this kind of thing? And I think that broke me. I was just like, you know, I don't want to adopt another team.
I already feel dirty.
Did that a few years ago.
It's like going to the next abusive boyfriend. The way the NFL like conspired against St. Louis, I wanted to have nothing to do with it. We talk about the NFL on our show here with rarity because I can't stand what they did to St. Louis, and I was a gigantic Rams fan, and they're dead to me. However, this is the latest COVID reaction in the NFL. NFL, this is from Outkick, which is an amazing sports website. If you were looking for a really, really great take on the sports world, Clay Travis and Jason Whitlock are doing a great job at Outkick.com. NFL refs now allowed to flag teams for face covering violations. And this is from their article here. Imagine your team losing a game over a 15-yard face covering penalty. It could happen as soon as this week in the NFL after clubs were informed Friday that, quote, any individual who approaches an official without a face covering is subject to a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct, as well as possible fines, suspensions, and forfeiture of draft picks. That's pretty serious stuff there.
Aren't they supposed to be COVID tested before they even get on the field? I thought that was part of the, wasn't that part of the deal?
I'm a little behind.
Because why would you want a COVID positive guy in the locker room? So I thought the team would,
or
you know, hold
House.
That down.
I don't know.
do they have to wear masks on the field while they're playing?
The coaches do.
The coaches do. Oh, so it's only applies.
That's why it says here the coach approaching.
Okay. Okay.
Any individual who approaches the official without a face mask is covering. Yeah.
Players can too, but still, I mean, everybody. I thought everybody on the team got tested.
Yeah.
Like constantly.
But they do have to. They do have to wear these face masks on the sideline. I just can't. I mean. This just seems to me like one of those things, like, you better have a good relationship with those referees.
Yeah. Because
if they can bust you on something like that.
I'll tell you what, I know Trump's been saying it over and over, but for some reason, it just went right over my head until Pence said it the other night, that they fully expect to have a vaccine by the end of the year.
Yeah.
I know that he may be politicking, but for whatever reason, when he said that, it hit me, oh, that actually might happen. Because every time Trump says it, for some reason, I think, oh, he's worried about the election.
Are you guys gonna line up to get the vaccine?
No.
That's a good question.
Nah.
No, I'm gonna wait a little bit. I mean, I'll get it eventually for sure, but I'm gonna wait.
Katie, do you have any fear of getting COVID?
You know, I really don't, and I hope that doesn't make me sound like I'm not taking it seriously, because I am.
No, scientifically speaking, if you get it, you're gonna be fine.
Yeah, Trump has COVID. And I think it put a lot of people in a panic state, like, holy cow, the most powerful man in the U.S. got COVID. Like, what does that mean for the rest of us? Anybody can get it. You know, it kind of put us back into our place. Like, we've got to wash our hands. We've got to be wearing our masks. We can't see each other. Let's avoid, you know, being in crowds. And for me, I was just like, yeah, he did get it. And I'm not trying to downplay it whatsoever. But I still have the mindset that I have to live my life. And if I do get it and it is, you know, pretty crazy and pretty wild and I have to quarantine myself for a little bit, then that's what's going to happen. But I can't just shut off living, and I can't be so afraid to live and so afraid to see family and friends for almost a whole entire year or until this vaccine comes out. That's not how I roll.
Gabe, do you think the president struck the right tone when he came out and he said that we can't live in fear, or he said, don't be afraid of COVID? I mean, there's what the president said, and then there's, of course, always what the media does with what the president said. Do you think it's the right message to say that we shouldn't live in fear, because so many people are so scared right now?
Oh, definitely. And that's the kind of tone that you want from a leader, is someone who says, don't let this dominate your life. We're going to beat it. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, imagine, you know, since we were just talking about the NFL, imagine a coach coming into the locker room saying, well, these guys are really tough and they're probably going to beat us. And this is kind of leaving it at that, as opposed to, you know what, we've got the tools. We're going to beat these guys. You know, let's get out on the field and we can work together and get there. And that's what I saw from the Trump administration this entire time, was this, you know, here are all the tools we've got coming out, and we've got this and we've got this and we've got this. And right now, the message was, don't let it dominate your life, I think was the way he put it. And that's important, because people have been letting it dominate their lives, and it's disrupted society on a level we've never seen before. So we've basically destroyed human interaction.
Is it the point of a political party to make COVID dominate? Is that on purpose that so many people feel that way? Or do you think that, you know, we've never done a pandemic before, but that's just the way these things go? Do you think that as much as the president is saying, don't let this scare you, don't live in fear because of this, that that's his side of the aisle? Is it the political converse to say, no, we need to be terrified. This is a really big deal, and everybody could die. Is there a political advantage to the other side saying that?
Oh, sure. I mean, the fear is one of the great, you know, political motivators, right? And on one hand, you can have a legitimate criticism that not enough attention was paid to the cautionary element here, you know, of the pandemic. You could make that argument, and you know, and on some level, maybe rightfully so. But the current you know, track that the Democrats seem to be going on is that, you know, Trump on January 28th should have hit the podium and said, y'all gonna die. You know, it was like, no, this is a 99.99% survivable thing. You know, on some level, you know, it might be controversial to say this, on some level, I wish I'd already gotten it, so then I could just say, okay, I have antibodies, leave me alone.
Mm, yeah. But Ryan, do you think, as somebody who has a condition that is affecting your lungs, with cystic fibrosis, you're going to Disney in a few weeks, so you can't be that horrified about being able to go out and experience the world. You haven't put your entire life on hold, but you've lived with precautions. Let me ask you this way, because I already know what your answer is. You and your wife together, whatever your average is of fear.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Is there a fear that you think is honest, or do you think that there has been pressure for you to be more scared? Again, the average of your fear paired with your wife's fear, because I know you're super casual about all of it. You've got cystic fibrosis. This could be very serious for you. Do you think that the fear has been peddled towards you, or do you think that you're at a good place with it?
Oddly, my doctors have been the best. Like, they're not peddling fear at all. They're just based in fact, and they're talking to high-risk people. You know, I mean, that's all we are. They deal exclusively with cystic fibrosis, so they talk to CF patients all day, and I don't know what they're saying to others. Maybe they're treating me a little bit different, knowing that I'm fairly healthy, but they have not said anything to me. In fact, they've almost done the opposite and said, please don't be afraid to come into the office, because I know they were struggling with that too. Like, nobody's even coming to see the doctor because you're too afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I to answer your question, yes, our average is probably my wife's is more afraid than I am, but she's coming slowly to the same conclusion that I am, which is, you still have to live. I think going back to school for her probably did that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to move forward. It reminds me of Kamala Harris citing Bob Woodward's, journalistic, I don't know if he's a journalist, whatever he was doing when he was recording 9 hours of time with Donald Trump, saying that, Trump said that
he didn't want American people to panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It be something if he would have said on that tape, this is a serious thing, and I thought that the most important thing was that I invoked as much fear in the American people as I possibly could to induce mass panic. That's what I really wanted to do. I mean, saying it like that is obviously obnoxiously stupid. Speaking of Kamala Harris, Gabe, I wanted to get you an opportunity here before we break to talk about Kamala Harris and Mike Pence's mansplaining and how Kamala Harris represented the Democratic Party and what kind of job she did at the debate this week. Because I think we all thought Vice President Pence did a very good job, but just give you the opportunity to weigh in on that before we go to a break.
Oh, sure. Well, apparently the definition of mansplaining is when a conservative man tells a liberal woman reality. because... it's kind of like, the your truth and my truth kind of thing, right? It's like, well, no, there is the truth, and here it is. There were so many distortions and outright lies that Kamala Harris kind of peddled, that evening. And looking at it after the fact, it's gotten, like, that performance gets worse and worse in my mind. On the night of, I thought it was bad. But I've gone back and I've looked over it. I watched a body language analysis of it, which I put up on my Twitter page. You guys got to watch that video.
Do you think they understand how poorly she did?
No, not on the level that that I think at least the public saw, according to the polls. That 70% who think that Pence won, I don't think they view it as that bad in reality, because, as much as we like to think that they're just doing political spin, on some level, I think these guys have really kind of gone whole hog on their ideological blinders. And I think that, she spoke truth to power is probably the line that they've got, running nonstop in their head.
That phrase I hate more than your truth.
Power.
Truth to power. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's take a quick break. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to do Ask Me Anything, and you can participate with us. You can ask the show. You can ask myself, Gabe, Katie, Ryan questions. Just go on the Facebook Live or the Annie Fry YouTube page and just put AMA. That's for Ask Me Anything. And then ask your question. And if we like it, we might include it. We'll have a little fun when we come back as we wrap up this Friday afternoon and turn it over to the DGS here at 3:00. Let's have a little bit of fun before we get there. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending some time on a Friday afternoon with us. We're very grateful for it. We're just having a little bit of an off-air discussion here. A real problem that exists today in social media is this idea that everybody, what is the average age of the social media coordinator or director of most outlets?
20-something.
Yeah.
Mid-20s?
Yeah, mid or late 20s, yeah.
First of all, y'all talk differently than we do.
Yeah.
Like, the and go, and that's it. That's the tweet. Oh, my God. Or what are some of the other ones that you hear? I don't know who needs to hear this, but.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this whole, like, just type of vocabulary that exists, and I'm probably,
mostly condescending.
Yes. It's all, yeah. But this idea that a lot of these young folks, especially in news organizations, both local and national, who are in charge of putting things out there, there is such a commonality, it seems, among people who are in that age range and that position that they just assume that the way they see things is the way everybody sees things. And we're talking about reporting news. And when I see that, and I can see the 25-year-old oozing through the way you wrote that status on a Twitter, on Facebook, on wherever it is, I'm out. I'm done. I no longer take you seriously. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
We were talking about something in particular here locally, but just the idea that you were, A, going to use that social media speak, especially when you're talking about news.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and I know Katie and I feel this way a lot about this because I did digital for 97.1 for 10 years, and I watched as this became a thing, and I watched it take over, and it was like painful for me to watch it because I knew the number one in communications, what we're doing right here, I'm talking to you. Yes, you, sitting at your desk, in your car, at your table at home, you know, paying some bills. I'm talking to you right now. I'm not talking to, you know, the great people out there. That would be ridiculous for me to think of that way. I'm talking to you. And you are at the center of every conversation we have here. And if I don't remember you in this conversation, you will find somebody who will talk to you. So that's why we create this relationship and develop this relationship here. In social media, it's so much about me and the people who are put in these social media positions to have the voice that takes the news that actually happens and translate it to the people who follow, who have given the thumbs up on some social media page. They forget who they're talking to. And it is such a disconnect, and it is, I don't know why this isn't being taught in universities. I don't even know if you, I don't know what the qualifications are to be like a social media director right now, because if you're young, by default, you know, if you're in a dentist office and you're the youngest person in there and you are good at social media on your own, then you're probably doing it for the company too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm.
Does that frustrate you guys?
Oh,
well,
my gosh.
In politics, it drives me crazy because if you've come up through a university, like you just said, and you're liberal, or you used to be a conservative, maybe you grew up in a conservative house and then you had your quote-unquote eyes opened when you got to college, you probably have not been terribly challenged on those beliefs too much. And then you hit the real world and maybe you get a job, like you said, and you become the social media director.
You got a slanted reality.
You're a slanted reality. You're living in a bit of a bubble, and it comes through.
Yeah. Yeah. And also,
definitely.
Just piggybacking off of you, Annie, know your audience. Know your audience. If you are someone that's local or national and you're trying, you have a demo that you're speaking to. And most of the time, it isn't people that are in their early 20s or even late 20s.
They're probably boomers.
Yes, the average person that, you know, reads the news and is very invested into that, they're probably not in their 20s. So just know who you're talking to.
Katie, you want to call anybody out specifically? Names?
I will pass.
I only asked you because I knew you wouldn't do it.
Yes, I will pass.
The rest of us totally would.
That's a great way to start. Ask me anything.
I know for a fact that
if you have anything,
I'm in the target demo for everything, right? I'm Generation X, right? So I've got an empty nest and I got a lot of disposable income. I'm right in that age where I can still do stuff. You want to appeal to me, and your Zoomer talk is annoying. and you show your ignorance repeatedly with your stupid little phraseologies and your bad takes. And
everybody's talking and saying the exact same things.
Mm-hmm.
If you have anything to ask, just go ahead.
I want the truth!
Say it.
Thank you for your honesty.
You can't handle the truth!
And the truth shall set you free!
All right, I'm going first. Ask me anything for the room. You only get to answer with one word. Who wins the election in November? Ryan Wiggins.
The people.
That was two words.
Ah!
Ryan, gosh, there's one rule. Katie, who wins?
America.
I mean, Trump.
Oh. Gabe?
Trump.
Trump.
Ryan, do you want to take another stab at that?
Republicans.
Trump?
Yes.
This was supposed to be the easiest question in the history of Ask Me Anything.
Answer in one word.
Who wins the November election? And we all failed.
The people.
No, Gabe, I think, did okay. The people.
I said Trump.
Republicans. I should have said Biden or Trump. Who wins? Ryan, who wins?
Trump.
Katie?
Trump.
Gabe?
Trump.
Trump. Satisfied?
Trump.
In what world does Biden win? I'm sorry.
I don't know, but I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to go there. I don't want it to happen. I just want it to be Trump, and I'm glad we all said that. I'm so sad.
Well, we said it, so it's true. So.
Yeah.
Just go drink. Katie sounds like she needs a hug.
Katie, you got a question?
Sure. What is a subject that you remember not caring about at all in school,
science,
but now wish you knew better because it's super important?
History.
History?
History. I mean, I wish I had paid more attention. Like, I don't have a good attention span to, like, long-form things like that. So learning history, like, as soon as I see a movie about it and I understand through, because I'm more visual, I guess, I'm like, gosh, I want to know a lot more about that. I wish I could have soaked it in. There's so much that I got very good grades in school because I was really good at test taking and I was really good at cramming, but I feel like for as good of the grades as I got, I did not learn nearly as much as I should have. Ryan, what about you?
Typing, actually. I wish I would have done better and really focused on typing because it's been my entire adult lifehood now to make myself a faster typer lifehood.
What about grammar?
No, I was fine. I was fine with that.
Adult lifehood. Gabe, in your adult lifehood, what do you wish you would have done better at or paid more attention to?
Probably English, maybe. I don't know. I admit, guys, I did really well in almost everything.
You got good brains.
That's why they let me into that other place. But yeah.
No, MIT?
I think English because yeah. But I think, you know, as I pursue writing, essentially, I wish I would have paid more attention to that aspect of it. I'd probably feel a bit more confident in those things. And right now I take forever to write anything because I keep self-editing as I go, and it's horrible.
Gabe, you had a question for the room or for somebody?
Sure. If you could own an exotic animal as a pet, or we'll say any animal as a pet, even the crazy ones that no one ever got, you know, not tiger, which would it be?
What would it be? I don't know.
What would it be?
Ryan?
Probably a bearded dragon, just because I don't want any exotic animals, and I've heard that one's pretty easy.
Ryan, we have a leopard gecko at home, kind of like that. Come on over.
I guess I'll take that from you.
Her name's Voodoo.
There you go.
She's 16. Okay.
16?
Yeah, she's baller. I would say a koala bear. I think that they're cute and peaceful, and they would be like, I would hope that they'd be really cuddly, but they have those giant claws, so that would be my only fear. But I just think that they would be really nice and peaceful in the backyard.
Can I say none, or am I forced to have another pet?
You have to have a pet of some exotic sort. He is not exotic enough. Is it a wild dog now? Like, if you like an Australian, did a dingo eat your baby? I'm sorry.
I'm a quarter Australian. I would say, can I have chickens in a coop outside?
That's not exotic.
It is for me.
A wild dog really isn't either.
This is Missouri.
No, I'm really opposed to it.
In their apartment building.
I would like to make a donation to PETA And
of course you would. Yeah. What
and
about one of those cats
question.
That runs around near the airport?
I can't even make something up. I don't have any idea. I don't even know what is considered exotic and domestic.
I actually kind of want a big cat just because I like cats
Joe
a lot.
Exotic.
Gabe Exotic.
And I don't know. I just, it's always appealed to me. I literally, I've always wanted a Black Panther. Like that's one of the things that I've always wanted because I see their cubs are just the cutest things and then they're huge. And I'm like, I'd look so cool walking that thing down the street in my neighborhood.
Brad wants a Peregrine falcon that he can hunt with. Okay, Ryan, Ryan, you got a question?
Do you guys remember being in school? And I don't know if you guys, some of you went to private, some public. Do you remember being in school, whether it be high school or college, and knowing that your teacher was teaching you with bias?
Yeah. In what's
any,
college?
Any time, high school or college, do you remember
college, yeah.
a moment
I fought
that?
With all of them.
Did you? Awesome. That's what I was wondering.
I actually had...
Let me surprise.
Quick story. I just had, within the last week and a half, somebody messaged me on the show page and tell me who they were. And they're like, I was with you in that speech communications class. Our professor's name was Duff. And it was 2003. And we had just gone to war. And I was like, gonna defend our troops and what we were doing. And I was arguing in favor of what was going on. And he had just come back from serving, I think, in the Army. And he was with, and I was the most outspoken person. And he remembered me and I remembered him.
Cool.
And we remembered that class. I don't remember a whole lot of college. And I was so happy that he reached out to me and he's found the show and everything. So if he's listening right now, I'm not going to say what his name is, but he's an Illinoisan and he's continued his BA or
yes.
in his service to his country and to his state. So I argued with all of them. And I once had a teacher call me to her office because she was saying that the sexualization of women was proof that we live in a biased society because women were being shown on magazines half naked and selling beer. Like she showed us this ad and I go, but don't those women aren't those women making a they're not being forced to be on there and they're getting paid to do it. They're making if you were talking about empowering women, shouldn't this be these women made this decision and it's their job? I said if they were being forced to do it, and she got real upset with me and she told me I had to come see her in her office afterwards, and she told me that I was being disrespectful because of my disagreement with her.
Ugh.
And I couldn't believe it, and I said, here's the deal, I'm gonna study my ass off for your show and I'm gonna get an A and then we're not gonna talk about this anymore. And I walked out and then I called my dad and told him I was probably gonna fail this class.
She's wow.
But I got an A and it was media law.
Yeah,
I got an A in it. Not many people got it. But I was
nice.
I'd go to the match. But what about you, Katie? You were in college maybe 10 years after me?
I graduated in 2016, and actually, you know what? I did not have any professors show their bias. If you can believe that, my school, I really, really, really loved my college. And I loved all of my professors, had a great relationship with them. But then afterward, you know, you add each other on Facebook as time goes on. And one of my professors I was
debating with. There's a level of appropriateness.
Yeah,
your personal social media versus in the classroom.
And so, I mean, afterwards, a whole different thing. I was debating with one of them on the VP debate night. It was, you know, but I think I'm one of the lucky people that didn't have that experience.
I looked over my shoulder and Katie goes, my college professors. And I was like, are you fighting with them right now? She's like, yeah. What about you, Gabe, real quick? Did you have bias in college?
Not really. Luckily, you know, since most of my classes were technical in nature, they didn't have that much of an opportunity. We were barely able to fit in the actual classwork as it is. So I was lucky that they didn't seem to take any opportunities to throw that stuff at us.
Here's an Ask Me Anything specifically for Ryan. Who's the funniest to work with, Katie or Annie? This is for you, Ryan.
Who's the funniest?
Get the right answer, Ryan.
I'll tell you what. Annie is surprisingly quick. I will say that about
Annie.
Why
does it surprise you?
Because there's times that I'm like, oh, man, I just landed a good one. And then you land one right back. And I'm like, oh, crap. That's pretty good.
Oh, crap.
You counterpuncher.
Wait, people aren't allowed to make jokes around me. I'm the joke maker
this is
here.
This supposed to be my territory. What are you doing here?
Hold up.
I told you when you came on the show, I don't want you to come on here to be the funny man, but it's okay if you're funny.
Yeah,
I did tell you that.
Yeah. But Katie, you know, Katie's is so fun that she's just funny. So
could Katie and I be any more different?
No, you really couldn't. No.
And that's
all
the
right,
tea.
Let's get the break.
And that's it. And that's the end.
Love it.
Nope.
Love it.
Nope.
Nope. And you know what? That's a smart man for you. No elaboration.
Just, yeah.
Nope.
Could we be any more different? No. Nope.
You're both
fantastic.
Wonderful, though, man.
It's a trap.
There you go.
It's very convincing. There you go. Very convincing. All right, let's take a quick break. Tony Colombo is going to come in here, and we'll do a little Annie, Are You Okay? to wrap up the show. We are going into the weekend, folks. One of the questions that somebody had us asked is, are we able to detach and detox over the weekend? God, I hope so. Please, I hope so. Stick around. We'll be back in just a minute. Can't believe I've been able to hold this in all day long, but last night Donnie Wahlberg followed me on Twitter, and it was about as excited as I've ever been.
Wow, Donnie W. Big Donnie
yeah.
Dubs.
I tweeted that I was going to stop watching the news, and I was going to watch an episode of Blue Bloods, and got to follow back, and I was
big deal
excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is he on that show? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. I if you're not watching Blue Bloods right now, you're missing out for sure. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys.
Hey, remember the mic?
Yeah, I'm over here by the camera. I was trying to get the tripod fixed, and the camera's
Sorry.
On the other side of the room.
I couldn't see the mic was not.
I didn't realize it was so far away either until I tried to grab it.
Well, yeah, well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do a little okay to go into.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
Carlo asks the Donnie Wahlberg. Yes, the Donnie Wahlberg. Yes. Not Donnie Wahlberg from like Festus. If there's a Donnie Wahlberg for Festus out there, though, he's allowed on the show.
Man, that guy is not happy with you now.
I know. I didn't want to call him out like that, but I had to.
So back in the day of New Kids on the Block, when they were first becoming popular, Donnie was, of course, the bad guy. He was the bad boy of the group. Mm-hmm. He would always be on stage with a cane.
A pimp cane?
Yeah. Like a walking stick. Like
I
that
what
was
that's
his...
supposed to mean.
It means you're a bad boy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what it means.
You BA.
Yeah, it means like you're tough. Means...
Or you've got hip problems.
Yeah. No.
Clearly. It's the geriatric new kid.
He was probably 21 years old. I don't think he. Yeah, that was.
You know
was
what
his...
I need? I need a cane.
That yeah. was the signal. That's how you knew that he was the
hey,
bad
Tony,
boy.
Hey, Tony, I think maybe you signal? Should walk around the station there with a cane.
Yeah.
You might get some more respect.
I have a walking stick.
Yeah,
I have a.
Just
I have
a hat, get a nice hat.
I have a walking stick that I bought at Graceland.
Yeah.
It's an Elvis Presley walking stick, and it says TCB with the lightning bolt on top of it.
Bring it in.
Why are you not using it?
It is
you're wasting time.
Bring it in.
Is Tony Colombo a bad boy, or does he have problems with his celiac joint?
It is.
Nobody knows.
Sweet. Yeah. Yeah. If I walked around with that thing, people would be like, "Whoa,
whoa!"
Nobody even look at that guy funny because he means
he's
business. Yep, that's what that probably meant back then, kid.
Boy man now.
All right. Mm-hmm. The question
he's
was,
okay with-
Annie, are you okay with walking sticks?
Yeah.
I'm okay with Tony.
Just so you guys know, all you kids listening out there, 1987. That's how you signaled to people that you were a bad guy. You walked around with a cane.
I don't know if it translates to 2020.
No, I don't think so either. The CDC has issued some guidelines for Thanksgiving, and they're recommending people to keep it very small. The CDC says if you plan on having dinner with people who don't live in your household on Thanksgiving, which that's what Thanksgiving dinner
that's
is.
You
have
do.
Dinner with people that don't live in your household. You should do it outside.
Oh, okay. 25 degrees, it's fine.
Annie, are you okay
no.
eating the turkey outside in 35 degrees?
Just it's so ridiculous. No. I mean, be smart and make your own decisions. And thanks, CDC, for weighing in. We hear you. You said it out loud. Everybody heard you say it out loud. Moving on.
Mm-hmm. In a related story, Thanksgiving turkeys are going to be smaller this year because of the pandemic. Grocery stores know that people are having fewer people over for Thanksgiving than usual, so grocery stores around the country have stocked much smaller birds than usual. And
how did they
so
do
it's
that ahead
be...
of time? Like, did they just tell
had
the
all
turkeys
year?
To not
they kill
grow?
Little turkeys instead of big turkeys, Ryan. Pretty simple.
Tony, explain the circle of life to Ryan Wiggins.
Yeah.
When a turkey lives longer...
Yeah, turkeys are like people. They come in all shapes and sizes, and they just killed the little ones.
Turkeys are like people.
Yeah, they come in all shapes and sizes. And this year, they only killed the little ones. Annie, you okay with not being able to get your standard size turkey this year? Stupid coronavirus.
People could, I guess, buy extra turkeys if they need it. I don't know. Isn't there always the extra turkey? Like the
not a pound for two turkeys.
Isn't there always too much turkey?
Yes. Are you guys turkey or ham people?
On Thanksgiving?
Prefer ham. No, I'm just like in general. If you had to pick
why
one
just turkey and ham? Why not roast beef?
Turkey and ham are the most common ones that people have.
Boy,
I don't know what the question here was.
I can make a case for either
do
one.
Do whatever you want.
I love them both. I can make a case for either. Pizza Shop in New York just added comforting words to the menu. This is on the menu.
We suck.
When you're ordering your pizza, you can also order comforting words. It costs $1. And if you purchase them when the delivery driver gets to your house, they will look you straight in the eye and tell you everything's going to be okay. And you're doing the best you can.
What if you're not doing the best you can? What if you need someone to deliver you a swift kick in the patoot?
It doesn't matter. You just paid for that. It doesn't matter because you paid for it. So that's literally what the menu item is.
It might not be for capitalism in this situation.
And they look
an intervention.
The delivery person looks you straight in the eyes and says, everything's going to be okay. You're doing the best you can.
This is like a very, very shallow version of prostitution. Does it really mean anything?
Annie,
if you pay for someone to tell you nice things?
Are you okay with paying the pizza delivery guy to give you obviously insincere words of encouragement?
No! I mean, oh, no! No.
Stop. Deliver it with any conviction? Because I would pay to have the guy tell me that with no conviction.
You will be fine.
Everything's fine. Everything.
I'm sure if you, I'm sure you, another, I'm sure you put another dollar or two on the tip and he'll deliver it any way you like.
Let me pass
careful.
That for you, buddy.
The words of encouragement.
What?
So, of course, tons of people have worked from home. Many still are working from home this year. And because of this, they've gotten used to a certain level of comfort, extreme comfort in some cases, like wearing sweatpants and T-shirts while working. According to a new survey, 1 out of 3 Americans say that when this is all over, people should be able to wear slippers to the office.
To
the office. Annie, are you okay with doing away with the idea of dressing nice at work? And just having the new normal be, you walk into an office somewhere and everyone's in shorts and flip-flops.
It all depends on what your work is and if you're going to be seen only by the people within your office or if you're going to be doing business with maybe clients, people coming in. There still needs to be some level of decency. Like, if you're not going to be decent at work, then where are you going to be decent? So, I don't know. I'm okay with, like, slippers at your desk that you, Mr. Rogers, that if you're not walking around in them, but I don't want to be seeing, you know, Craig Lombardi's slippers with his toe sticking out while he's walking around with his walking stick.
Craig's just sitting at home doing nothing right now. And
he knows.
He's incoming.
He knows. Flannel pants.
You guys may have talked about this one. This was like an actual news story. This bled into the actual news cycle earlier this week. California Governor Gavin Newsom put out guidelines this week telling people that if they go out to eat in a restaurant, they should pull up their mask between bites.
No. Oh, my gosh. This is why people need to pay $1 to their pizza person for comforting words. This is why.
That's it.
We found the line for Katie. This is it. This is when she officially is done with the week and ready for the weekend. Annie, you okay with pulling up your mask?
No!
Pulling it up and down between bites as you're eating
in a restaurant? If you're that uncomfortable with being out in public, if it freaks you out so much to see people not covering up their mouth in between bites, you make that grown-up choice for yourself and stay home, and I support your right to do that. But back off. Oh my gosh, we've lost our minds. Did you see this story, the NFL story, Tony? Mm-mm. That the referees are now going to be able to penalize an unsportsmanlike, they're going to be able to flow a flag for unsportsmanlike conduct if there's inappropriate mask wearing by anybody who approaches the officials. 15 yards. Give me a break. I had to read that on the internet because I hate the NFL and I don't watch it. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Okay with you.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Hey, you too. See ya. All right. Thanks for listening. Check out the podcast at radio.com. And make sure you subscribe to all the Annie Fry socials. We will see you Monday for special coverage of the Amy Coney Barrett Supreme Court hearing and DGS. It's coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.